Screen door on a submarine. That's a Rich Mullins faith without works is just about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. You know, I think we've all seen the commercial that's usually got pulsating music, creative camera angles, kind of those quick-moving clips of athletes that are perspiring, they're dripping with sweat, and they're all sporting like Nike gear or Nike running shoes or Nike shorts or Nike whatever. And the commercial kind of makes you sit up on the edge of the couch and push the Doritos and the Mountain Dew and stuff to the side. And then the screen will kind of fade. And it'll fade to black. And then you get those little white letters. Just do it. And then, of course, you got the Nike swoosh. It is a brilliant marketing campaign. It has made Nike billions of dollars. Just do it. I mean, what's it mean? What's Nike saying in that? If you buy our gear, if you sport it, if you wear it, when you hit the turf or the field or the court, that you're going to just do it. You're just going to do it. It's about application. It's about effort. It's about achievement. And so let me ask you, are you doing it? Are you in better shape today than you were a year ago? I mean, studies reflect just the opposite. I mean, as a whole, and I'm stereotyping, but our society is more overweight, more out of shape than we've ever been as a society. We spend millions on exercise equipment that collects a lot of dust. Diet books end up in the recycling. Health club memberships go unused. It's staggering how many people have health club memberships, and you go, do you go? Oh, no, but I got a membership. Exercise apparel, well, it merely gets sported for leisure. Are we just doing it? Well, some are, some aren't. But I was thinking about that just do it strategy. I mean, Nike isn't the first one to come up with this. The campaign wasn't first created by a bunch of high-paid execs, maybe in a suite up in Chicago or something. But it was a guy by the name of James, 2,000 years ago, when he penned what I would consider one of the most practical books of the New Testament. You know, we're in this series, Level Up, and we've been looking at the book of James as kind of a guide for leveling up. You know, living on a whole nother level. You know, Nike says, just do it. Well, James says, just do it throughout the book. He talks a lot about having an authentic faith, having maturity in our life. He talks about numerous Christian principles that and how to apply them, and that's what we've been looking at from time to time. And I believe there are things that are very easy to explain. I think there are things that it's easy to agree with them, but it's just not actually easy to do them. And James would say the key, just do it. Now, if you're a Christian, you've taken that step of faith, you've made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, I believe this message is for you. If you have not taken that step, you're kind of checking Christianity out, it's okay, sit back, and just consider this kind of a glimpse into what the Christian walk is all about. And today what I want to talk about how do we take the information that God gives us through his word and actually apply it to our lives. It's about giving God our level best in life. And application, hear this, application determines the depth of your faith. It will determine your maturity and your walk. Anybody glad to see the NFL heating up? I mean, I'm glad to see football back, and training camps are in full swing. Teams are kind of evaluating and assessing players. They're making cuts. They're releasing players. And in fact, teams are already playing preseason games. And I was thinking about, what if a player, say like a wide receiver, let's say a wide receiver went out for a pass and they caught it and then they just stood there. Didn't run upfield, just caught it and stood there. Well, it'd be ugly, wouldn't it? I mean, they'd get leveled in a heartbeat. ESPN would eat them alive on showing reruns. You know, they'd go, "What is wrong with that wide receiver? What's wrong with him? Can you believe that?" And they'd go on and on. Always wanted to be a ESPN announcer. Yeah, I'm Damon Talkington, live ESPN, examining some people's network. You know, did you see that? It's unbelievable. That Christian received the Word of God. That Christian accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. That Christian accepted and received what God had to say, but they're just standing there. They don't appear to be moving. I can't watch this. This is going to be ugly. You know, James says that we're to take the ball and we're to run up the field, that we're to gain some ground in our lives. It's part of leveling up in the Christian faith. You know, James writes this. He says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that so prevalently and humbly accept." Say accept, receive, catch. "The word planted in you, which can save you." Throughout the text that we're going to look at today in James 1, there is this idea of receiving God's word and tucking it in and actually running with it and doing something with it. You know, James continues the next verse. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word." And I like that word, listen. You know, I remember being in college, and every once in a while there'd be somebody auditing the class. And I never understood why you audit a class. I mean, I'll be honest, it wasn't cheaper. And almost everyone that audited, there was kind of this attitude of who cares mentality, you know? Yeah, you go, "I'm taking notes." I look over, they're not taking notes. "Well, I don't take notes. I'm not going to take the test. It doesn't matter. I'm just auditing." And I believe scores of people attend church and they sit in worship and they're just auditing. Just auditing. "Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that message. I agree with what God's word says. I agree with that song. You know, I have my kids in the zone," but we're just listening. We're just auditing. We're not really going to apply it. There's not a test involved, is there? I mean, I'm not interested in taking that step. Not ready to deal with that. I really don't want to take the ball and run up the field. And James would say, do not do that. Don't do that. In fact, he says, do not merely listen to the word. And so what? Deceive yourself. Do what it says. Just do it. Just do it. It says, don't deceive yourself. I mean, what's that mean? It means to reach a conclusion in your life with false reasoning. I mean, you may have attended church for years. You may have taken class after class after class. In fact, you are a walking biblical encyclopedia. And James would say, good for you. It's great. It's great you're listening. But he would say, the race is won when you apply it, when you just do it in your life. See, level up, maturity, spiritual depth is found in obedience. You know, Jesus put it this way, tells a story. He says, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, and then he would say that the storms hit, and the rains came, and the river started running high, and the winds blew, and the house stood strong, Jesus said. Conversely, he says, anyone who hears my teachings and does not obey is foolish. Like a person builds a house on sand. And they'd say, so the storms came and the rains came and the river rose and the wind started howling and it was a sand trap and the house was destroyed. Jesus says over and over as you read the Gospels that the deal, its application, its full obedience. I think Jesus would say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I mean, don't merely listen to the word. Don't audit stuff. Don't deceive yourselves by just listening, but actually do what it says. Anybody that knows me knows I love good food. And Cindy and I just got back from the Florida Keys, and I'll be honest, we went up and down the islands eating great food. You know, I brought part of it back with me, in fact. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of great eating down there. One of our favorite places, it's a lazy day. And my favorite thing on the menu is cracked conch. And they do it what they call lazy style. So it's got diced tomatoes on it and scallions and Parmesan and Key West butter or Key Lime butter. I mean, it's to die for. And it is the best conch in the Keys, hands down. And I was thinking about, what if I went to Lazy Days and sat down at the table, got my menu out, waitress comes by, says, hey, can I help you? Nah, I'm just going to read the menu. Not going to eat. In fact, tell the chef, forget the food. I'm just going to read and enjoy this menu. What do you think my waiter or waitress would be thinking? They'd be thinking, he is really strange. What is wrong with you? Seriously, order some food. The food's good here. Stop or get out and stop taking up space. Friends, as a believer of Jesus Christ, a lot of people, they're just listening. You know, I agree with that. I believe that. I intellectually accept that. And there's this kind of, oh, that resonates with my spirit. But maturity, hear this, maturity doesn't happen in our lives until we actually eat the food and obey and actually do it. Just do it. You know, what if I decided to build a deck, which that would be a stretch for me, but decide to build a deck at our house. And so I get my phone out, Siri, how do you build a deck? And all these articles would come up, and so I could read all these articles, and I could watch YouTube on how to build a deck, and I could bookmark the sites, and I could highlight the information that's important. In fact, I could start a group on deck building, and we could get together, and we could sip coffee and discuss the pros and cons of building a deck, and I could take field trips, go to Lowe's, and go to Home Depot, and, you know, and after a few weeks, Cindy goes, honey, have you started the deck yet? Well, no, not yet. But you wouldn't believe what I've learned about decks. And I could start telling her the history of decks and how they started and the history of wood and all this stuff. Friends, it's one thing to study and download the information. And it's a whole nother thing to actually start building. See, building requires work, doesn't it? See, some people would rather sit and study, sip a little Starbucks, instead of going out and just doing it. Just doing it. And James is saying, a lot of people want to highlight the Bible, want to highlight God's Word. But the real question, this is a serious question, do you let the Bible highlight your life? You know, James says, don't deceive yourselves. Do what God says, whatever it is. In fact, James is going to drive the point. He's going to drive it, and he's going to begin comparing the Bible to a mirror. We watched a few movies on vacation. I watched the Huntsman Winter War. It's the adaptation of Snow White. How many of you have seen it? Yeah. The mirror, as you remember, plays a big role. You know, I learned the old school, mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror can't lie in the story. In fact, that's the nature of a mirror, isn't it? It always tells the truth. How many of you looked in the mirror today? See, I bet most of you did. In fact, I bet you looked in more than one mirror today. You looked in a bathroom mirror, makeup mirror, compact mirror, rear view mirror. James, he develops this mirror illustration, and he talks about two different types of people in the world. And I wonder, which one are you more like? You might do a little assessing here. There's the person who glances in the mirror. James says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. He notices it's a guy. See, guys glance. Women never glance, right? True? Guys do the, yeah, okay, yeah. I want you to picture someone glancing in the mirror. Maybe glancing in the rearview mirror before they change lanes. You know, picture a guy as they're walking by. See, we do this real sly. Okay, yeah. Get that glance. And after looking at himself, goes away. You jumped on me here. Looks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Yeah, it's a little bit, I heard about two blondes, they found a compact, and they picked it up, and the one blonde looks at it, she goes, this picture sure looks familiar. And the other one grabbed it and goes, you idiot, it's a picture of me. All right, sorry, I'm a blonde, so I can tell that. James says the Bible is like a mirror. A lot of us glance at the mirror, glance at God's word, and we don't really study it. And why is that? I mean, what's the purpose of a mirror? It's to show you who you really are. You know, Cindy and I, we have one of those 10 times magnifying mirrors with the light around it, and it shows every pore, every blemish, and every wrinkle. And when we first got it, we wanted a refund on it immediately. It was like, this thing doesn't work. I do not look like that. You know, I remember going to my dermatologist after we got it. This is true. Went to my dermatologist, and so I had a lot of questions and concerns at that meeting. And she sat there patiently and listened to me, and, you know, and she goes, let me guess. You got one of those magnifying mirrors, didn't you? You know, said every time. Everybody, like, oh my goodness, I can see things I didn't see. I got up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and I thought, I need to shave, need to brush my teeth, need to shower, need to fix my hair. And I did all that stuff, and then I looked in the mirror again, kind of did the double check, and I looked, and I thought, yeah, I look good. Now, be nice over there, you know. But you do that, don't you? I'm good. Good to go. But imagine if we looked in the mirror and we go, yeah, it'll do. Morning breath, it'll do. Bedhead, it's fine. Friends, it's what a lot of people do. They glance in the mirror of God's word. And because they know if they really look, they're going to have to do something. You know, if they really look, they're going to be convicted. that they're going to have to make a change. You know, it's really uncomfortable when you stare in the mirror. It's a mirror moment, isn't it? Isaiah, he had a mirror moment. He says, "Woe is me. I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." See, it's a mirror moment in his life. See, he looks at God. God's word penetrates him. I mean, Job had a mirror moment when he saw God. He says, "In the past, I heard about you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes, and I'm ashamed of myself. I am so sorry. As I sit in the dust and the ashes, I promise to change my heart and my life." Glancers, people that give it this. I mean, a couple things happen. Some people look in the mirror of God's word and they don't do anything. And other people, they're sly. I mean, we are sly individuals. And so we take the mirror and we move it a little bit. You know, we redirect it. You know, we find someone else to look at in the mirror. Well, I'm better than they are. I'm a better Christian than so-and-so. I'm more moral than she is. I'm a level up from him. And so we look at the reflection of someone else. And you know what you do when you do that? You go, "I'm good. I'm good." You know, the Bible says over and over, we're not to judge other people. Before we think about deflecting the mirror on someone else, you know, Scripture would tell us put it and direct it on ourselves. Study ourselves. Friends, when I quit focusing on you, when I keep the focus of the mirror on me, guess what happens? I grow. I mean, the next time you're reading God's word, next time you're studying God's word, the next time you feel challenged about something in God's word, don't just glance at it. See, James would say, study it hard. Don't glance. Don't bring that weak game. There's another way. He says, stand in front of the mirror and focus and fix yourself on it for a while. I saw a cartoon. It's been a while back, but it was a great cartoon. It had a picture of a mom looking in the mirror and a little boy and his father. And the little boy says, "She cannot hear you, Daddy. She's in mirror land, you know." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being self-absorbed. I'm talking about us looking at our lives and focusing on the things that God points out to us. You know, James 1:25, he says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." That's a promise. That's a promise from God. When we look closely, intently, continually, consistently, when we look in God's word, as we do that, the perfect law, the perfect mirror of Scripture gives us liberty and freedom. And I know that sounds odd, but it's what happens. You know, how does that happen? Well, first let me ask you, how often do you study God's word? How often do you stare into the word of God? I mean, semi-annually? Yeah, we try and do that at Easter and Christmas. I mean, do you only do it in times of crisis? Once in a while? Weekly? I will tell you, that's still not enough. What if this morning, what if I decided that I'm only going to look at the mirror, the actual mirror, once a week? I'm just going to look at it once a week. See, you got to do it regularly, don't you? We look at mirrors all the time. Make sure things are okay. But let me ask you, what part of your life does God want? He wants all of it. He wants everything. And once you give God everything, here's the cool thing, and here's what happens in our life. The Holy Spirit kind of infiltrates and starts working in our lives, giving us the desire to change, giving us the power to change. And when that happens, what you find is you have the power and the freedom to be who God created you to be. You know, John says this, Jesus says, when you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. When you're doing what God wants you to do, when your desires start syncing up with God's desires, when you acquiesce to the Holy Spirit, when you live like you're loved by God, when you live like you have actually been set free, when you begin to be the person God created you to be, you will be the happiest you've ever been in your life. You will be the most fulfilled you've ever been in your life. And you will have the most joy because you're living the way God intended you to live. In fact, some of you are having a mirror moment right now. I mean, some of you, if you're honest, you've been kind of glancing, deflecting, not really focusing. Some of you, you've been on the same level in your spiritual life for a long, 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 long time. Some of you have actually stepped down a little bit. And I would challenge you to change your gaze. Fix your eyes on the Word of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and begin to level up. I mean, how? Well, when I get up in the morning, I mean, one of the first things I do is I go in the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I go, wow. Wow, got to shave, you know, got to get dressed, got to fix my hair. Some of you go, I got to put my makeup on, you know. But one of the big things that I do every morning, is take a bath, take a shower. You know, it's one of the main things you do as a Christian. The moment that you bow a knee to Jesus Christ, you realize you're pretty dirty. You realize Jesus died for your sins. And so we get washed and purified by his blood that was shed on the cross. And that's why we get baptized. And baptism's kind of that symbol. It's an outward sign of what is happening inside you. And I know some of you need to take that step. You need to make Jesus Christ Savior and Lord, following baptism. And we got baptism week coming up in a few. I would really love to talk to you if you're kind of on the fence, not sure what to do. You know, August 27th, we're going to do that. Titus writes this. He says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Basically saying we all lived that way at one time. But he goes on, he says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You've heard me say this before. God doesn't grade on a curve. You know, you can't look to your left and right and go, I'm in better shape than them. We are not saved by what we do. You hear that? We're not saved by anything we do. I know some of you go, well, I've been baptized, and I would say good for you. I've been confirmed, good for you. I memorized a lot of scripture, good for you. Been to catechism, good for you. Whatever. You doing those things is not what makes you a Christian. You do those things because of his love, because he calls us to obedience. You know, we do those things because we want to give God our level best in life because of what he did. We are not saved by anything we do. In fact, I will tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is because you received what Jesus has done for you. If you think you can do something to save yourself, I'll just be honest with you, you're still on the wrong path, and it's heading straight to hell. It is about accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you. He paid the price for your sins, past, present, future, what have you. You got to accept what he's done. Some of you go, well, I understand that. I've made that decision. I'm a believer, but I still sin. I mess up sometimes. I mean, what do I do now? Well, we all mess up. And it's a little bit like every day I take a shower. Well, once you become a Christian, Jesus Christ washed us. He forgave us. But the fact is, we live in a messed up world, and we're going to mess up sometimes. And so we get the stench of sin. And so you got to practice a little spiritual hygiene, so to speak. You know, 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, once we're saved, we're going to get dirty. And so we got to confess our sins. We got to keep a short account with God. It's living in communion with God or community with God. It's living in the full presence of God. If you're not confessing your sins to God on a regular basis, well, I will tell you, you're living in kind of pseudo community with God. It's not real fellowship because the relationship becomes strained because we're not being upfront and honest. And until you make that choice to say, you know what, I'm going to lay this stuff out. God already knows anyway. But until you make that choice, you're deceiving yourself. Friends, I'm going to hear God's word, and I'm going to apply it. I'm going to quit messing around. I'm going to quit deceiving myself. And I will tell you, when you try and play that game, and some of you would say, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Because we all mess up, but when we pretend like we're not messing up, it's just exhausting. You know, you live like you're loved by God. Live like you've been set free in your life. Live in the full presence of God, full surrender, complete obedience. You know, how do you do that? Well, it's not only listening or hearing, but it's actually listening and doing. You know, a couple quick examples, and then we'll close. Let's say you hear a message on, like, humility. It's real easy to go, I agree with that. I agree with that. In fact, the other day someone complimented me, and I was a little bit embarrassed, and I must be a humble person. See, that's the glance. But you put yourself in a different situation. You know, someone that you know, maybe a good friend or a colleague or somebody, maybe they're getting a lot of kudos and a lot of applause, and then suddenly jealousy is inside you. You start taking little shots at them. See, do not be deceived. Just because you agree with God's word, just because you get a little embarrassed, a little teary, doesn't mean you're a humble person. You know, maybe you hear a message on generosity. you know, that we're to help the poor and the needy, that we're to give the first fruits to God, to give it to the local church. I think it's easy to take a scriptural principle and go, oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. I want to be a generous person. You know, God's first in my life. But do you do it? You know, I've said this before. I could look at your bank statement real quick. I could tell you what's important to you, what you value. And James says, don't be deceived. Don't say one thing and do something else. You know, how about enemies? And here's the deal. We all have enemies. Do you know that? We all have enemies. But Jesus says we're to love them. I mean, what's it mean? It doesn't mean letting them walk all over you. Let me clear that one up. It means praying for them. It means getting things straight with God about them. It's about asking God to change your heart so that when it comes to that person, you can begin to treat them the way they should be treated. People go, oh, you mean my ex-spouse? Yes. You mean the jerk at work? Yep. See, it's one thing to sit in here and say, oh, I agree with that. And it is a whole nother thing to do it and to love them and to forgive them. In fact, I will tell you, Christianity is not a pick and choose. It's not a pick and choose. How about how the church fits in your life? You know, Hebrews 10, verse 25, you can read it later, but it says that we're to be connected in the church, that we're to be there regularly, weekly, that we're to be a part of worship. And I know people go, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Well, are you involved in Faith Fellowship or whatever church you attend? Is being in worship a priority? You know, having your kids in the zone on a regular basis, is that a priority? Or do you kind of make a decision at the last minute and go, let's see how the weather is. See if we're tired or not. You know, let's see what the sports schedule is or the extracurricular activity. Is that what drives whether or not you're at church? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. I mean, James, he sums this all up, and it's very clear. It's a simple statement, and it's a hard statement. But he says this in the next chapter. He says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Ouch. So faith without works is also dead. Friends, your walk and your talk, they have to sync up. We're called by God to be obedient. You know, in the Greek, the word Nike, it means victory. I love that. Victory. If you look in the mirror of God's word, hear this. If you look in the mirror of God's word, and if you apply it, just do it, just do it. God says you'll have victory in life. I don't know about you, but I want victory. I want victory. I challenge you this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, and there'll be prayer teams down afterwards. We're going to close a little bit different. Just stay seated and allow the song to minister to you. But I challenge you. You know, whatever that area is, and here's what I absolutely know right now. As I say that, every one of us thought of something that it's like, I'm kind of doing the glance thing. I challenge you. Whatever that was, whatever that thing was, to get into God's word and look at that topic, look at that struggle, look at that battle, look at that thing that you really didn't want to look at. You do it, you'll have victory with whatever it is, whatever it is. You know, is it easy? No, it's hard. God's word shows you who you are. Yeah, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, I pray that as Christians, that God, we not only would fix our eyes on your word, but that we would tuck it in. And we'd run with it. We'd just do it. God, you promise that in obedience we'll find joy. It doesn't mean things are going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, but that you'll be there and that we'll find joy. God, I pray that everything that we say, everything that we do, that it would bring glory to you. And God, I also know there are some here today that they haven't taken that step to make you Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that you would just point them the direction, that your Holy Spirit would nudge them and move them to take that step. So just bow a knee to you. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, the stand every day. And God's people said, let's worship. Let's worship.